This is CNT Talk. Every week, two friends debate the issues of the ages as we agree to disagree. It's never politically correct, but it's always entertaining. Join us tonight so you can sound knowledgeable at work tomorrow. We're smacking you upside the head with the hammer of truth. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello. Welcome to our show, Tony. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a very nice place you have here.
Yeah. We're in the basement, so it's not real nice.
It's the police.
My studio's in the basement. I don't live with my mother, but it is in the basement. So tonight I want to talk about something that's been near and dear to the free speechers out there, and that's social media. We always hear about free speech. You can't infringe free speech. It's free speech. They just show free speech like it's catch-all.
Well, who says this, though? Because there's a lot of people that say we should absolutely infringe free speech.
Everybody on the left seems to think that if you shut down somebody on Twitter or Facebook, hate speech, that's okay. If you shut down them, then that's
right
censorship, and you can't have that.
Right.
You know, and they always pull out the First Amendment, not recognizing that only government can infringe free speech.
Yeah, they don't get any of those nuances.
They don't care about that. They just think everybody should let you talk about whatever you want. So this isn't totally new, but Facebook put out a quiz on what they consider hate speech. They've given, I think it's six examples here, and you're supposed to decide, do they think that's hate speech? And if so, they will censor it. That's their
claim. Wait, we're supposed to figure out whether Facebook thinks it's hate speech?
Whether Facebook says, I'm going to read them to you
okay. And
get your reaction. So the first one is, why do Indians always smell like curry? They stink. Is that hate speech?
It's not hate speech. It's offensive. I'm sure Facebook thinks it's hate speech.
Yes, Facebook does think it's hate speech, and here's why. Because calling a specific group of people stink is a degrading generalization, and Facebook spokesperson said the statement would be flagged as hate speech because it targets a specific nationality, which is a protected category.
Okay. A protected category. Okay. All right. You know what? I just bet that... white people are not a protected category, even though...
There's something in here about
okay,
that.
Okay, good. So let's see the next one.
Next question. Poor black people should still sit at the back of the bus. Poor black people should still sit at the back of the bus.
Well, Facebook still thinks that's hate speech, too.
No, they do not.
Oh, they don't? That actually astonishes me.
I know.
Because I'm just going to say they think everything is hate speech.
Apparently. Any call for segregation... as an unacceptable attack, subsets of protected groups do not receive the same protection, according to the document. While race is a protected category, social class is not. So attacks targeting poor black people would not seem to qualify as hate speech under these rules.
Oh, this is amazing.
That's because including social class in the attack negates the protection granted based on race.
Who is deciding who these... This is Facebook deciding which classes are protected and not.
Well,
protected?
They're just saying what's hate speech and what isn't.
I can guarantee you. Okay, here's my prediction that one is going to change very quickly because
poor black people, it's okay to call.
Right. That's going to they're going to hear from all the activists. You're going to say your definition is actually hate speech. So that one's going to be reversed immediately. Go ahead.
They pulled the people. 92% of people that read that question thought it was hate speech.
Well,
only 7% thought Facebook.
By the way,
7%.
I'm simply accepting the term hate speech for purposes of this exercise.
Correct.
I don't. That's a complete nonsense term to me.
Agreed.
So go ahead, continue.
Okay. And I'm going to paraphrase this one. White men are a-holes.
I would say Facebook thinks that is not hate speech.
They actually do.
They do.
The statement targets a subset of two protected categories. White men encompasses race and sex with an attack in the form of cursing.
Okay. That means any form of cursing is automatically hate speech?
Apparently, that is hate speech if you curse. But not again.
So Bill Maher better. There's a whole bunch of people that better go off the air.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. What do they consider cursing?
I mean, right. And that one's going to be reversed as well because someone's going to inform them immediately that you can't have hate speech against white people.
Well, protected class. And somebody goes on to say it forgets the point that most men have the upper hand and advantage in society.
Right. Exactly.
It's really women who have discriminated in subordinates we should worry about.
Sure. They've completely ignored the whole oppressive patriarchy, white privilege thing there. So they got that one wrong, too. Okay. Go ahead.
Keep trans men out of girls' bathrooms.
Oh, guaranteed that is hate speech, according to Facebook.
Well, it depends.
Okay.
While some people might find a statement offensive, others might not view it as controversial. The statement targets a group based on two protected categories, gender identity and sex, and calls for exclusion of that group. But it would most likely be permitted because of continuing debates around transgender issues.
So there's continuing debate. So yeah. Facebook will determine when.
So next year it could be consensus,
right? When there's no more debate that's permitted because it has been decided. The debate is over, as Al Gore would say.
Correct.
Yes.
Female sports reporters need to be hit in the head with hockey pucks.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, that they're going to say that's hate speech, that they're targeting a particular class, which is females, right?
No.
What?
No, this is not considered hate speech by Facebook.
Well, I would actually think that that's actually calling for violence against female sports reporters.
While gender is a protected category, Facebook's training document states that occupation is not. Sports reporter is not a protected category. Although this is a call to violence, it would not be seen to violate the company's rules for hate speech. That's because including occupation in the attack negates the protection granted based on gender.
That is unbelievable.
I think
who came up with this?
This lady's name is...
She. By the way, whoever it is, she's going to be fired. She's going to be fired.
Danielle Citron, an information privacy expert and professor of law at the University of Maryland.
It is a call to violence.
but because it deals
with occupation, wow. That is negated. I see.
Yeah. Okay, here's the last
one. So, like, if someone said all dentists should be murdered, that's not hate speech because it relates to an occupation.
All white dentists should not be, or all male dentists should be murdered. Yeah, I don't know what they would say.
All you got to do is just include an occupation, and you can negate all of your hate speech.
Wow, that's it.
That's excellent.
Maybe it's because hit head the puck versus murdered is not sufficiently violent
or,
enough. I don't know.
All black orthodontists should be pummeled. That apparently you've negated the. I like this. This is an interesting. There's going to be people that develop a matrix to allow them to sneak past the gatekeeper. Okay,
last one. I'll never trust a Muslim immigrant. They're all thieves and robbers.
If only they had said, I'll never trust a Muslim mechanic immigrant, it would be okay. But I think that's hate speech.
According to Facebook, no, it is not. Here's why. They usually consider dismissive attacks, including those targeting groups based on religious affiliation, as unacceptable. The company's training materials classify immigrants as a quasi-protected category. That means they are not protected against some types of attacks, including dismissive attacks. According to Facebook's training document, the quasi-protected category was created in response to increased online discussion of the Syrian refugee crisis. That's a lot to say.
Okay, first of all, I am amazed because I thought Facebook was a very woke organization. And apparently they're not nearly as woke as I expected. I'm somewhat pleased by this and astonished.
And shocked at the same
time.
But
all of the people that designed this training are going to have to go to re-education camp very, very quickly.
Well, that was put out a little while ago, and they haven't republished. I think it was leaked. I don't think it was supposed to be getting public.
I mean, the pitchfork-wielding mob is coming for whoever did that.
Yeah, I would say so. So we kind of alluded to it at the beginning. Twitter has a problem. I know you don't use Twitter. It's that thing where it's 140 characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Verified. Yeah.
Yep.
But it has a problem because they're shutting down people for certain voices.
Yeah.
And Facebook has the same problem with fake news, what they call fake news or hate speech. We often say it seems to be slanted against conservatives, although, you know, with the whole Weinstein thing, there was some liberals who were shut down based on the comments they made in Twitter about Harvey Weinstein. Where does this fall in? Is it, I mean, it's not protected speech. According to the Constitution, it is not protected in any way, shape, or form that they can censor anything they want. It's a private company. They can do that. Is there any way to make this work? I mean, is there any set of guidelines in your opinion that would ever make this work? Or is it just a free for you let everybody through? Or you just selectively pick whatever you want, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. It's clear that all of these organizations, Facebook, Twitter, they have a monolithically left-wing worldview, and so any of their decisions regarding what is acceptable, despite the crazy thing that you just read, which amazes me, or is always going to err on the side of, you know, conservative speech is going to be deemed inappropriate, and it's going to be the first thing that's going to be suppressed. Again, private companies mm-hmm. have the right to do this. The difficult part of this is that we've never had a situation where essentially the medium of communication, the free flow of information is almost completely controlled by essentially, what, four or five different companies?
Yeah.
In terms of social media. And so if they increasingly decide to use their power to push out a huge section of users because it's viewpoint discrimination, they just don't like their political or ideological sure. positions, I think that does become it's a problem.
Is it more of a problem because this is social media? It didn't exist 20 years ago. There was no such thing as a social media existence. So people didn't have a voice, whatever that meant, back then. And I feel like this is the media writ to the masses.
Right.
Because the media really decides what gets on the air and what gets published.
I mean, that's the problem, is that this is essentially the marketplace of ideas now. And here's the other thing. It's also commerce. So one of the things I think we talked about a couple, you know, some shows ago was this additional effort where these companies are now they are essentially trying to intimidate the companies like PayPal or whatever mm-hmm. that allow you to function as an online business because mm-hmm. they've decided you're engaging in hate speech. So now we're going to get the other companies that allow you to exist mm-hmm. essentially to withdraw service from you. Mm-hmm. And you basically are banished to the Phantom Zone at that point.
Right.
That to me is where this becomes a major problem. They have enough power to actually destroy your business as an online presence by intimidating and targeting other companies that provide your access, your ability to monetize your business, your access to the web, cutting off service. That to me is a problem when you're going to be doing that in a way that is only focusing on, you know, it's discriminatory. You mm-hmm. are eliminating a whole swath of viewpoints simply because you don't like them. It's not a constitutional issue.
Sure.
But to me, it is a regulatory issue at that point. When I'm the last person that wants government involved in this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we've never had a situation like this where technology has gotten to the point where, again, your ability to engage not only in communication but in actual profitable business, your livelihood, is contingent upon essentially a couple of companies. And if they decide you're going to be a non-person because we don't like what you think, they have the ability to erase you.
They do. And I think you're referring to the Aryan Nation stuff that came out of Charlottesville, where they were forced to go on the dark web because they couldn't get a place to host
their talking about that. I mean, I'm even talking about legitimate commentators. Like, there's a guy, I always get them mixed up. Is it Richard Spencer is the the neo-Nazi guy?
Yes.
There's another guy, Robert Spencer, who is a scholar.
Which one was the one that spoke in Florida recently? Was it Richard or Robert? I can't remember.
One of them is a legitimate public intellectual who is essentially an expert on Islam. I think his site is Jihad Watch.
Okay.
And he's been labeled, and he's not a polemicist at all. Mm-hmm. But of course, because he has very heretical views about terrorism and Islam and says things that you're not allowed to say in polite company, he was targeted as someone who was engaging in hate speech, and they essentially sent him one of these, hey, nice business you have here, would hate for it to for something to happen to it. And they went after his either PayPal or whatever he was using. Now, they backed off when he made this public, and I guess there was a lot of backlash. Okay. But this is sort of these test runs for what you're going to see more and more of this. And it's going to encompass more and more, because that definition, you know, a hate group, becomes infinitely expansive as these sure. people decide more and more things are just not acceptable.
So what was the old, I don't remember who said it originally in the 80s, I don't know what pornography is, but I'll know it when I see it. The same thing here with hate speech. I can't define hate speech, but you know it when you see it. But it's one man's definition, or Facebook's definition, or Twitter's definition. I guess I'm under the as much as I dislike a lot of this stuff that's out there, I feel like when you start marginalizing or you start putting certain things in a box and say this is no longer something acceptable to me, I think you it's a tough road to hoe when you got to do that. And I feel like you got to let it all, or you got to say there's no profanity on this site. There's no whatever you want to do, and that's your hard and fast. But you got to have a set of rules that apply to everybody, not just I don't like your opinion. And that's what's
right.
going
well,
to.
Well, and that's the thing. I think you can come up with a very reasonable set of rules that govern normal communication. Like you said, we will not tolerate profanity. We will not tolerate threats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those sorts of things that are just...
unless it's sports reporters.
Exactly. Apparently,
York, I guess.
Yes. But then, when, like you said, when you then start policing viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is...
See, that seems like it's an FCC violation when you start picking and choosing
right.
who's going to be...
And that's why I said it becomes a regulatory problem, and, mm-hmm. and it maybe becomes one of these issues of monopoly, right? A monopolistic venture, which, again, I'm not a big fan of the government coming in and deciding you've gotten too big, so we need to break you up. But in this realm, if we continue to see those kind of efforts to stifle viewpoint... in only one direction, I think there is probably going to have to be some sort of regulatory intervention.
So let's take this off the internet and go to college campuses. You know, Ben Shapiro can't seem to speak wherever he wants, even if he was invited. Miley Yiannopoulos, whatever you think about these people, there's a clear delineation at most colleges where they get shunned if they bring these people in. Is that not the same?
Well, it is, but
not
the college thing. Well, it
could
be.
Could be if it's a public college.
That's what I was going to say. There's a lot of public universities that absolutely do this. And at that point, it does become a constitutional
True.
Issue.
Fair enough.
There's a movement right now that's being led by people like Stanley Kurtz, who's you know, he's a brilliant guy. He's a scholar. He's with a think tank. He's a conservative, but he's written a lot about the demise of academic freedom on college campuses. It's kind of his bailiwick. And there's now a push, along with organizations like FIRE, which I forget the whole acronym, but they go around the country defending speech on campus, including providing lawyers for students that have been essentially silenced improperly. And there's now a push state by state to pass laws that essentially say, if you engage in speech discrimination on your campus, there's going to be penalties. And, of course, with public universities, the main penalty is going to need to be, sorry, bye-bye funding.
Yeah, there's your money.
There goes your money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is we talked about this before. People who do not read about the condition of our college campuses, our universities, have no idea how bad the fever swamps have gotten.
Yeah, it is,
I mean,
it's all of them.
I would encourage you that just take a moment, an hour, and just start Googling stuff. Like, you can't even keep up with them. I mean, the latest insanity of people being shouted down and assaulted and threatened for showing up and daring to have an opinion that's different from the mob, this is rampant.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very rampant, and I think this is a developing story going forward because it's only going to get worse. People are not going to... The internet allows them to act anonymous in a lot of cases. They can say things they wouldn't normally say in public. But the college campuses are really the flashpoint for a lot of this stuff. And I would say it's almost every college. I wouldn't say every single one because I don't know every single one. But it seems like all these colleges have a great liberal upswing in their beliefs
well,
and how they're
it's not
portrayed.
Liberal. I mean, again, it's leftist.
Well,
there's a big distinction. In fact, it's the opposite of liberalism. It's
Correct.
Illiberalism.
Correct.
Because liberalism, classical liberalism, stands for the free and open exchange of
ideas. You
wouldn't
call it progressive. You would call it more
I mean, to
fascist.
Me, progressive to me is the same thing as a leftist.
Okay.
I make a distinction between a liberal and whether you want to call it a leftist or a progressive.
Is a liberal misguided, but
well,
not
no,
evil?
I think a classical liberal adheres to most of what, in the educational context, a liberal arts education is supposed to be,
okay.
right? Free inquiry, open exchange of ideas, tolerance of all different viewpoints. That's what, right? This is what liberals are supposed to stand for.
But they're not liberals.
No, they're not.
Obviously.
That's why. And increasingly, it's the mini-Maoist. It's these leftists that are running around deciding that, listen, we're just simply not going to tolerate any view that we don't like. And it turns out that every day we increase the number of views that we don't like.
Yes.
I mean, they just we talked about this within the last month, the left eating the left, they shouted down and prevented from speaking someone from the ACLU who was on campus to talk about free speech.
Well, then they shut down Nancy Pelosi when she was doing the Dreamers came in and shut her down.
Because, you know, the tests of purity just get more and more stringent.
You're not pure
enough. When they run out of people on the right to attack, well, then they just simply turn to the people who are insufficiently committed to the long march through the institutions on the left. So it's like who's going to be eaten last here?
Yeah, sounds like the French Revolution in 1789. You're not good
enough.
Very
much so.
Yeah, you're going to eat yourself. And we haven't made that connection necessarily, but it really seems to follow that path.
That's absolutely the connection.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are the Jacobins. I mean, that's what they are.
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's part of history. Look it up. We're not going to solve it tonight, but it was interesting to discuss it. Our next topic is a little more personal for me, you, and literally everyone listening who's an adult.
Does this have to do with service at a restaurant?
It does not.
Okay. I know that's a very personal issue.
Well, not everybody eats at restaurants. So I wouldn't say that applies to everyone. As an aside to that, I did get a letter from Equifax, an email from Equifax 2 days ago, telling me they did not anticipate the number of people who might call them, so their phone lines were swamped, their website was swamped. 145 million people were affected, but they didn't anticipate they might get a few calls on that. Anyway, that's an aside. No, I'm talking about Donald Trump's tax cut plan. On the surface.
Which, by the way, I haven't really been paying a ton of attention to the details on this because to me, it's still
all nebulous.
A bunch of ephemeral.
It's all nebulous,
nonsense.
And that's part of the problem. It's like a basic outline when you're writing a paper. It doesn't really give a lot of specifics. A lot of things have to be worked out. But one of the things that's rumored to be in it because we haven't seen it is reducing 401k contributions.
Well, first of all, I know where you're going with that, and I just recently read that Trump has said not on the table.
I think it was a test balloon to see what people reacted.
Well, that's insane. I mean,
and here's the rationale. If we reduce the number of or the amount of money you can contribute to 401k, which is non-taxable until you take it out later at retirement, we increase your tax burden because it's now taxable, and we make up the shortfalls we could do with the tax cuts.
That's completely insane.
It is insane, and here's why.
Okay, first of all, we make it up as. But here's the thing. It's investment income.
Right.
Okay? So first of all, any policy that is going to disincentivize people from saving money for their retirement is on its face insane.
Yes. Well, the Roth IRA does that right now. There's an income cap on a Roth IRA. It's after-tax money that earns interest tax-free or whatever you've invested in. So that when you retire, there's no more money to pay on it. But there's an income limit. Why is there an income limit?
Well, that's okay. You can at least rationalize why there's an income limit because they have arbitrarily decided that if you make a certain amount of money, you don't need this additional benefit.
But now, it's a contribution limit too.
Right. I understand. But the 401k.
That's insane.
That's basically saying anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not limited to
$500,000. It's limited to everybody listening to this.
Everyone, middle class or otherwise, we're going to prevent you from socking money away for and essentially what? So we can recoup revenue now on the front end for the guy. That's just madness. If a Republican administration ever actually espoused that as a formal policy. Forget it.
Democrats haven't even said stuff like that.
No, I mean that's
why I'm angry.
It's lunatic.
So the $2,400 right now, the cap is at $18,000.
Right.
Next year it's supposed to go up to $18,500. We'll see if it actually happens. But they want to cap it at $2,400. Less than 10% of companies offer a pension, a traditional pension. The 401k is literally the only way your money can grow, and in most companies, that's not even the amount of match. You get more from a match than you get what they're proposing. So. My thought is, if this actually happens, Republicans need to resign at that moment because you're idiots.
Because
that's
you might
insane.
As well just commit ritual seppuku. I mean, you've killed yourself. That policy will never emanate from a Republican administration.
I couldn't believe it was even talked about. Why would it ever even come up in conversation? It makes no sense.
Well, it just shows you how desperate they are to figure out way. Listen, what's the current number on the big deficit or debt? The big debt wall? $20 trillion.
Yeah. It's a small amount.
It's unfathomable.
It's a small amount that you're going to get back. $2,400 a year put towards retirement, you'll never be able to retire. you'll be working the rest of your life. You will never, unless you inherited money somewhere.
Oh, sure.
But if you're counting that 401k to get you to retirement, and Social Security is going to get cut at some point, we just haven't told us when, you're going to get 70% of that. It's going to be tough. So if it happens, I'm going to be very upset. And I hope it doesn't. I hope you're right. But
yeah, that's not happening.
I just don't want to see it happen. I can't fathom that. Next topic. This is probably the biggie. Russian collusion.
Ah, yes.
I found a clip that I think...
There's been something in the news about this.
Yeah. I found a clip that I think sums up perfectly my feelings. So let me play this clip.
Russia, Russia, Russia! Are you serious? It is all over the news. Everywhere. Every even left-leaning liberal propaganda machine. They're all...
Makes you just want to chuckle, doesn't it?
They're all throwing Hillary under the bus. She's the one driving the bus.
Perfect summation. That was LNT on YouTube. I found that clip. It's from 2 days ago. But that's basically what it comes down to. The dossier put together for the Russian collusion that we've talked about before, which we think is a load of crap, was put together, was funded by Hillary in April 2016. Then the DNC, once she became the candidate, effectively became the funding source. And there was a rumor, and I haven't heard, it was confirmed, that maybe the FBI said they might pay for it.
No, the FBI has admitted that they offered, that they did that.
So Hillary put it out there with her connections to Putin, her Russian connections, to get all this connection on the blackmail list for Trump. And it looks as though she basically shot herself in the foot multiple times and maybe somewhere else.
Is any of this a surprise?
It's not. That clip sums it up. You're telling me for 10 months we've been yapping about this Russian collusion.
But we
said, you did.
But of course. I mean, this is classic. Here's the thing. It's not just the Clintons.
No, it's not. It's DNC.
It's the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Okay, see, this is where it's going to become very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't separate her from Obama.
You could have before the FBI said, we'll pay for it.
Well, not only that. I mean,
under Obama.
You know, one of the media's tactic on this now, of course, is to obfuscate and to say, oh, here we go again. This is deflection because, you know, Mueller must be getting close to the smoking gun, right? You need to understand kind of everything that was going on here. And by the way, this is not off of Breitbart. Okay, this story was basically...
It was on Breitbart, but that's the only place
you've
seen
it. It was broken by The Hill. Two reporters, or at least one of them from The Hill, not exactly a bastion of conservatism.
Nope.
This has now been reported by The Washington Post and The New York Times because they have no choice.
Right.
I'm sure they're, you know, basically wanting to bite down on the cyanide capsule as they write these stories. But here's what you need to understand. So, as Chad says, Hillary and the DNC sought opposition research on Donald Trump. Now, let's stop there. Is there anything inherently wrong or unexpected about a political campaign doing that?
No.
This happens all the time. However, we have to remember the media environment we're in. So Hillary hires, or the DNC and Hillary hire Fusion GPS, which is essentially hired, it's really two layers beyond Hillary for plausible deniability. There's a huge DC law firm, Perkins Coie, or Coy, however you say it. They're the ones that facilitate this.
They laundered the money to
right.
pay for it from
right.
her election campaign.
Right. And who do they get? So Fusion GPS, which is well known for basically, that's their business. Mm-hmm. They dig up dirt on other politicians and they funnel it out to the media, whoever wants it. That's their job, right? So they go get a retired MI6 guy, Christopher Steele. Now, why is that interesting? Because they're, where is he? Now, think about this, Chad. If you're hiring a guy to do opposition research on a domestic presidential candidate, you're going to go to some retired guy in London? No.
No.
Why do they do
normally.
This? Partially because they want plausible deniability. There's another layer removed. But also, this allows them to feed into this whole Russian thing, right? So this guy has contacts within the Kremlin. Now, again, let's stop there. Do I remember a level of DEFCON 1 insanity when Donald Jr. Mm-hmm. Remember this? He met with and all I could hear was screeching about treason most foul, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, the foundations of the earth are shaking.
You did.
It seems to me, Chad, that what Hillary and the DNC were doing is seeking information from Russian government sources to undermine the campaign of her political opponent, which seems to be exactly the same thing that they were apoplectic about when Donald Jr. did
that. It shouldn't be the same thing, because right, it's Hillary.
It clearly can't be the same thing. But in any event, and by the way, this is also now information which any intelligence agency, we'll get to this in a minute, should treat with maximum skepticism, right? Because it's literally a document being produced for a political campaign that is intended to damage the opposing party. And it's coming from the Red Menace, right? We had this epiphany within the last year on the left that Russia is bad. Russia has become bad again. They're very, very bad.
Do you think they're bad again because they didn't help her win the election?
Well, no, right? Because they're just the incarnation of evil. Previously,
sure,
we thought communism was great. Or at least it was, you know, it wasn't implemented properly.
The way we think of communism.
Right. You know, they were well-intended.
Social, yeah.
Stalin had to unfortunately murder, you know, whatever, 60 million people.
Whatever.
So we had this, and of course, you know, Mitt Romney was mocked for pointing this out.
Sure.
Your Cold War antiquated views of the world. Barack, the sophisticated new diplomat and his reset, right? All of this stuff. Well, now they've suddenly realized after Hillary lost, no. Russia is the evil empire. Ronald Reagan was correct. So this information is coming from the evil empire, which we've been told, you know, Boris and Natasha are hiding in the White House cupboards, ready to take over America. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
It's not interesting yet.
No, because so far, it's basically, okay, yes, it's hypocrisy and it's lying. Well, that's...
Well, it's hypocrisy and lying. So we're at the Hillary paying for it out of her campaign funds, DNC moving on with it. Right there to me, but you're still going to a foreign power. I don't care how many cutouts
there are. Of course you are.
Still a foreign power.
Of course you are. That's right.
That's still suspicious to me.
That's problematic.
Concerning. Yes.
But now, and what we generate is this dossier. And again, I would encourage anyone who hasn't actually looked at this thing to read it, because
it's a blackmail file.
It's not even a blackmail file. It reads like a combination of Crack Magazine and The Onion. It is the most facially ridiculous thing you will ever read. Anyone who has, first of all, a functioning cerebrum, let alone someone who's supposed to be a professional in an intelligence gathering agency, would look at this and laugh. And yet, this appears to be the document that the FBI, now this isn't confirmed, but there have been reports that this document, this absurd piece of fiction, which talks about, you know, the Russians were sending KGB agents 5 years before Donald Trump even ran for president to try to turn him. And you, I mean, it's just insane. It's completely insane and laughable. This was the basis for them to go to a FISA court, this dossier, to ask for subpoenas, wiretaps, and unmasking of the Trump campaign. This. They might as well have presented a Dr. Seuss book, right?
Right.
So, no questions, right? To the FBI, do you think maybe someone at the FBI, which, by the way, Chad, who was running the FBI at that point in time?
James Comey.
That would be James Comey, might have said, hey, gee, guys, you know, this thing looks like the work of a very... overly sugared up fifth grader who has been reading too many Robert Ludlum novels. I'm not sure this really should be the basis for a FISA warrant, right? A warrant seeking information about foreign threats, foreign governments, terrorism, so that we can investigate a domestic presidential campaign. Are you kidding?
Well, it's insane. And the fact that that Comey was willing to pay for it. See, here's my... That's my big issue right there, because that goes to the Obama administration. I don't believe for a second that James Comey was acting without direction from the Obama administration. You can tell me all you want to tell me. I don't believe you when you tell me, if you tell me that.
Of course.
So Comey offers to pay for it. Even if Hillary loses, they're willing to pay for it. Because that came out in late October, early November. And if she wins, they're just going to supersede it into their investigation. Now, there's reports this week that James Comey, before he was fired, presented this dossier to Trump and said, I've got this and we've been willing to pay for it. which led to his exit. I mean, all the stuff that Trump wrote about him, it was like, well, what are you talking about?
And by the way, why would you be presenting that as if it is some legitimate
blackmail?
Piece? Of course.
Total blackmail.
Well, it's not even blackmail.
Well, to me, it's like,
the only
if you don't
purpose
do this.
For doing that was to generate exactly what happened, which is this then gets leaked to the press, and the press then runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you tie in when, whatever, we're going out the door, Barack Obama says, hey, listen, man, we need to loosen up those restrictions on intelligence sharing between the 17 agencies because there not enough of them can get wind of all this. So we're going to make sure this can circulate all among.
We want Susan Rice to unmask more stuff.
Right. We
easier.
Want every possible person that is embedded within our crew so that they can then go to their contacts in the media and leak this.
See, I think of a quote from Who Shot Liberty Valance. You probably heard this quote. When the legend is better than the truth, print the legend. And the legend was Donald Trump colluded with Russians. Colluded with Russians. That's not the truth. They haven't shown any truth.
And,
but the legend sounds believable.
Right.
And
the legend, now think about this, Chad. The legend, the myth, the fairy tale, the fable, comes from Russia.
Yes.
So we are generating a Donald Trump Russian collusion fiction based on information obtained by his opponent that came from the Russian government. Now,
yeah.
That also raises the question, well, wait a minute. I've been told repeatedly that the Russian government wanted Donald Trump to win the election. Well, now, why would the Russian government then provide this damaging information in a dossier that they knew was being requested by political operatives functioning on behalf of the Hillary Clinton? That doesn't really make very much sense to me, does it, Chad?
Not a lot, no.
It's almost as if every single thing about that story is a complete lie.
Well, that can't be true because we've heard it for 10 months. It has to be true.
And then what's even better is while you have this unraveling, which anyone who's paying attention has said, they've had over a year. There's mm-hmm. simply nothing there. Anyone who the thousands of Trump haters embedded would have leaked any crumb of damning information. Nothing has happened. There is nothing. It's zero. But what we are also learning about a lot more is the Uranium One issue, which is back in the news.
Yes.
Now, does anyone remember this? You remember what's the gist of this, Chad?
Basically, we sold our uranium to Russia when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and I believe there was a nice, tidy contribution to the Clinton Foundation tabbed in there, wasn't there?
Well, not only did we sell controlling interest in Uranium One to a company called Rosatom, which is basically a Kremlin-backed, Putin-owned entity. It's essentially a company that's run by the Russian government, who, yes, now does control a controlling stake in Uranium One, which means they control 20% of the U.S. uranium reserves and have mining rights. But
step back for a second. Why would that have ever been approved? You understand uranium can be used for nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I know it can be used for nuclear power plants, but nuclear weapons. Why would we ever sell something that could be used against us? How did that...
Well,
how did regulatory, it ever get through any layer of government? That's okay.
Right.
Sure.
There's other people that are involved. There has to be 14 different agencies mm-hmm. that sign off on this kind of transfer. But what's even better is that there's a guy named Frank Giustra, Giustra, I think, who's a billionaire who was involved in this industry. Was a crony board member with the Clintons. And this gets really, really into the weeds. I'm not going to go into this, but essentially, he was one of the people that was pushing, because he is a member and a controlling interest in Uranium One, right? This is his company. He merged with Uranium One, his company,
right.
to the tune of like $3.5 billion. But when this is happening, this proposed transfer to a Russian-controlled company, the FBI is investigating and has actionable evidence that that company and its backers are engaging in bribery, extortion, racketeering, and kickbacks in an effort to make this sale go through.
Hmm.
Now, at the same time, Hillary Clinton's foundation gets $145 million from various sources that are backing this sale.
Hmm.
And Bill Clinton is paid a tidy $500,000 a mere weeks before this by a Russian bank, which is tied to Rosatom. Now, listen, you may be sort of eyes glazing over like, ah, that's too much stuff. Here's the question. How could, and the FBI knows all of this criminal stuff is going on, never says a single word to Congress while this sale is pending. Your question is very apt. By the way, Hillary Clinton has to sign off on this, and guess who else? What's another law enforcement agency besides the FBI, Chad?
The Department of Justice.
That'll be the DOJ. Who was the head of the DOJ at that time?
I believe that was Eric Holder.
That would have been Mr. Fast and Furious Eric Holder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, the chief diplomat of this country, and Eric Holder, the head of the law enforcement arm of the United States, both say, green light that baby.
There's nothing going on here.
Mm. You want to talk about Russian collusion? Okay, if we're gonna have a narrative about, right, we don't need a narrative. As I always say, you just turn this into an alternative universe and change all the main characters to Republicans.
Yes.
This is Donald Trump's Secretary of State, and this is Donald Trump's DOJ, Jeff Sessions. And so $145 million poured into Rex Tillerson's private foundation at the same time that he and Jeff Sessions signed off on a deal giving control of 20% of the U.S.'s uranium reserves to Russia. Do you think, Chad, that that might have been above the fold, 24/7, skull fragments, mass hysteria for over a year? Yes.
You better believe it would have been. It would never have gone through because somebody would have said, whoa.
Right. There would be dead bodies of media members piled in the doorway as they climbed over each other trying to win Pulitzer Prizes for bringing down the presidency, right?
Yes.
And yet this has been sort of treated like, oh, well, you know, it's just another attempt to get poor Hillary. Now, the other one thing we didn't mention, there is a whistleblower who was part of this investigation into the Russian bribery and racketeering, who wanted to testify. And he was told by the DOJ, you have a non-disclosure agreement. You literally, you're not allowed to say, this guy's now going to testify.
Oh, boy.
So actually, if I was that guy, I hope I have a very good panic room.
Yeah.
He's not popular among certain segments now.
No,
this is incredible. We've spent the last year talking about a fantasy of, you know, Donald Trump being a Manchurian candidate. And meanwhile, and by the way, this has been an open secret. We've talked about this Uranium One.
Yeah.
You've got Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, James Comey, the entire Obama administration allowing this sale to go on, and it's just a big yawn.
It didn't seem to elicit any concerns from anyone. You know, go back to Iran-Contra. We were selling weapons to Iran for money that we funneled to the Contras to defeat the communist insurgency. That was conventional weapons. It wasn't nuclear weapons. Can you imagine if Donald Trump said, you know what? I saw the error of my ways with North Korea. You guys probably aren't ever going to get it off the ground. Let me just give you some nuclear missiles. Let's get this out of the way. Or Iran or Iraq or anybody else you want to think about. Let's just give you the let's do it. Let's not make this harder. Yes, Russia had their own uranium supplies because they had their own nuclear weapons. But you don't give up a limited resource, and it is a limited resource. It's not available everywhere. You don't give that up to anyone. I don't care who they are. You wouldn't sell it to Britain. You wouldn't sell it to France. Why would you sell it to Russia? Why would it ever? It could never leave control of the U.S. hands. I mean, you can't sell certain computer technologies to certain member countries because of the encryption. And because they don't want them getting access to certain things that we have here in the U.S. Uranium would seem to be
okay, but remember, gets back to my earlier point. The Obama administration, with their nuanced, smart set diplomacy, that it was a reset with Russia, right? Yeah, remember?
That's what he said.
Remember,
that's what he said.
Down the memory hole is we only recently realized that Russia is bad, right? We went through Cold War, mutually assured destruction, Ronnie Reagan, who almost blew up the earth like Marvin the Martian, right?
Yep.
We survived him. Thankfully, we made it past that and all of his saber rattling and his terrible absolute moralism about evil empires. I mean, their empire is just as good as our empire,
sure,
right? And so We have this reset. You ask the question, why would anyone do this? Because the Obama administration was very eager to do this and escape our non-21st century evolved views, right? That's why they did this. And it became convenient for them after Kind Mistress lost the election in a shocking and humiliating fashion. We needed some way to figure out why that happened. I know. It's because suddenly Russia is bad. Well, they kind of forgot, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe this is going to come to light, that we actually were happy to give them control of 20% of our uranium. That's why this happened.
It's insane. It is insane in every situation. And to purport that Donald Trump, who probably does have connections in Russia, I'm not saying he doesn't.
Of course.
But obviously Hillary does as well. And we dismissed the public. Dismissed that. The media dismissed that as, well, that's just part of being Secretary of State. No big deal. Not a big deal.
$145 million.
That looks, on the surface, it looks a little suspicious.
Oh, and by the way,
$500,000 for your husband to give a speech.
How is the Clinton Foundation currently thriving?
No.
You mean, what's happened to it?
I believe they no longer have favors to give, so they no longer get money to give them.
Oh, you mean it's just suddenly, coincidentally, very distressingly gone out of business, huh?
Apparently. And I guess
Either that or they've solved all the humanitarian crises around the world.
That they spent $0 on.
Well, I think it was 10% of their operating budget.
Yeah, okay. Right. 90% goes to administrative fees. That's not a good charity, in my opinion.
Right.
That's a really
bad
charity.
So the charity, that also smells, I don't know, a little bit off, that the minute that you had no more political power, no one was really interested in donating to your charity.
Did anybody believe that if somebody named Clinton was actually charitable? Ever?
Oh, well,
about anything?
I mean, listen, there's a lot of true believers that would insist that was the greatest charity in the universe. I mean, that's all they were doing. They were interested in helping marginalized, impoverished people around the world.
I guess we should.
Your cynicism is really distressing to me.
Might be distressing to Hillary. I guess we never should have assumed she wasn't going to run in 2016, since the only reason she kept getting money was because they thought she was going to have more power and influence. Once she left the State Department and was still getting money coming to her, there had to be a reason that, I mean, she might not have said it, but there was an expectation she was going to be president, or at least try to be.
Oh, and of course, the other thing, which this is for them par for the course, they lied for a year about this. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's another part of these crazy, vast white right-wing conspiracists saying that we had anything to do with this. Oh, well, okay. I mean, maybe we did, but it doesn't matter. They are neck deep in this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the clip that you played with the guy laughing hysterically that Hillary's getting thrown under the bus?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've read is that part of the tactic here is, listen, the Democratic Party realizes that Hillary Clinton is an albatross. You know, they need her to go away because she just won't leave. She's the unwanted guest that will not leave. And so, well, gee, maybe we can use this to just pulverize her once and for all. But here's the problem is you can't do that without dragging Obama into this.
Yeah, but Tom Perez spoke. He says, we know nothing about this.
Of course. Well, and Tom Perez is a very trustworthy man.
And Ellison, we know nothing about
this. Right, they know nothing. Like Sergeant Schultz. They know nothing.
Now, I did read that they're trying to spin this is how serious the allegations were against Trump, because the FBI was willing to jump in and pay for this.
That's why
we have to continue Robert Mueller's witch hunt, because the FBI jumped in. There must be something there that we just don't know about yet, even though we've had a lot of time to look at it, and we're never going to find it. Now, do you think Robert Mueller's actually going to go where the investigation takes him, or is he going to still try to witch hunt Trump?
Is that a trick question?
No, it is not a trick question. I think you know the answer, and I think we all know the answer. Robert Mueller is going to go after Trump in any way, shape, or form that he can. He is never going to pursue Hillary Clinton unless the DNC and Obama says pursue Hillary
Clinton.
Also,
the cast of characters here, Mueller is involved back then.
Yes, he was the FBI director.
Rosenstein, the current acting deputy AG, is also involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if nothing else, you know, this gives, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, it certainly gives Trump and Sessions fodder, legitimate fodder, to actually make a public case that, Mueller, you either recuse yourself, you are so compromised. I mean, you're beyond compromised.
You're compromised before, when James Comey was your number one witness and he's your buddy you hang out with, not just
right. Exactly.
I met him once.
But now you're literally involved as the director of the FBI, investigating based on a a Russian-sourced dossier, the president that you're now witch hunting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's crazy.
Come on. Come on, Bob.
I said, this stuff, you couldn't write this stuff and make it believable. This is actually happening. This is what it's come down to. A lie that Hillary 2 weeks ago, when she was talking about Harvey Weinstein, said, well, we know there's Russian collusion in the election. That's what happened. The ray guns came in and changed your brain so you'd vote for Trump instead of me. She did it. She literally did it. And we're still sitting here going, well, you know, she didn't win, so she didn't do much. You know, cheating is still cheating. Even if you lose the contest, you still cheated. So it doesn't really make it better.
Here's another fascinating, I mean, this is just endless, fascinating tidbit about this. This Perkins Coie law firm, they also, of course, on behalf of the Clinton campaign and the DNC, they retained the third-party experts who examined the DNC servers and computers. Now this gets better. Uh-huh. So they're the same firm. They go out, and there's nothing wrong with this. They're hiring an agency to, this sure. goes to the Russian hacking narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Who did this? Now, what's the best part of this, though, is, remember, they also hire Steele and all this other stuff. The FBI takes this third party's report and conclusions as gospel, never, because by the way, Chad, I think you know this, the FBI also has people that can examine computers.
No.
Yeah, I think they employ
in a basement, probably.
From like Office Max or whatever.
Yeah.
They
on loan from Geek Squad.
Radio Shack, I think, something like that. The FBI never did its own investigation of the DNC computers. They relied relied on the conclusion of the third-party firm hired by Hillary Clinton's law firm that it was the Russian hackers. Now, is that conclusion wrong? I have no idea. But you would think, once again, as an independent law enforcement agency tasked with getting to the truth, you might not want to rely on those conclusions as the basis for which three intelligence agencies say this has been established. Do you think that...
I thought it was 17.
Oh, right. Yeah, it turns out it was only 3 or 4, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes to speak that maybe the FBI isn't the number one crime-fighting force in America that they like to claim they are.
Yeah, and maybe the FBI is incredibly compromised in about 50 different ways.
Top down, yes.
You add this in with what we learned about how they investigated the emails, where... they made agreements with people to destroy physical evidence. They never impaneled a grand jury. They never used subpoenas. They gave immunity to people for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to give you immunity, and then you're going to
do nothing. We're just going to give you immunity.
Because we gratuitously hand out immunity cards, because that's what the FBI does. Oh, and then, by the way, we're going to grant specific immunity to Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, who's also her personal lawyer, who was neck deep in removing all these emails.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to circulate as James Comey the memo exonerating. Of course, we don't know what the memo said, but I'm sure it initially said that Hillary's going to jail. No, we know what it said. We circulated this 2 months before he had even interviewed her or Cheryl Mills or any. This, again, just fills me with a little bit of, skepticism that the FBI was really doing its job in a professional manner.
Well, it depends on what job you think it was supposed to do.
Right, that's true.
Because if you look at it from one perspective, they were keeping Hillary out of prison. They were keeping people away from testifying against her by giving them blanket immunity for nothing. Just don't testify against her and we'll give you immunity.
You have Bob Mueller and his pipe-hitting lawyers kicking in Paul Manafort's door at midnight with guns drawn, and yet you have the FBI saying, hey, listen, you know what? If you need us to destroy that computer that has physical, don't worry. That'll be part of our agreement in addition to your free immunity and anything else you need from us.
It calls into question why Trump said, I'm not going to prosecute or not going to push for prosecution on Hillary.
Well, very foolish. I mean, I think he probably did that because they thought that was politically the thing to do. I wouldn't have said anything. I would not have committed to anything.
Don't commit to anything.
If I was asked the question, the spokespeople should have said, that remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. There's many investigations that need to be undertaken. Mm-hmm. We're simply not going to talk about what what's going to be prosecuted or not. We'll see how that unfolds, and we'll make a decision. And if there are crimes that were committed, then certainly we will not avoid prosecuting anybody. There is no one that gets special treatment under the law, and that relates to Hillary Clinton and everyone else. I think it was an idiotic thing for them to say, and actually, I don't think it's binding on them anyway. I mean, no. Trump should just tweet out, you know what? Change my mind.
No information.
We're prosecuting her now.
We're going after it. We're going after it. So that's going to be interesting to watch. I would say Richard Nixon went down for much less damaging to the country than what I've seen so far from Hillary and her clan of clowns. So just change subject to finish it out. NFL. Your Chargers still two games
My
back.
My Chargers
of the
are
Rams.
Trying to dig their way out of the abyss.
Still two games. I can't get that
the Rams
gap
won't
any
lose.
Larger.
And well, the Chargers play the Patriots. This is the tipping point week. If the Chargers can find a way to beat the Patriots, and by the way, I actually think it's going to be a close game. Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa are really good.
Sure.
And again, the Chargers should be 5-2 because they're the Chargers. They're 3-4. Mm-hmm. If they can beat the Patriots and get to 4-4, I feel like I'm going to stop saving away for the surf and turf because I'm going to be in a better position. But if they go to 3-5, and then who are the Rams playing?
I do not know.
Okay, well, because I'm actually
not being a Rams fan,
I'm actually a full three games behind you right now because I have to beat the Rams.
Yeah, so currently they're two games back in the standings, but needing to beat. Let me see where the Rams schedule. I don't know where they're going to be. They play. Ooh, it's not going to be good for you. They play the Giants.
You know what? I think Eli can do it. Eli's going to come up with a miraculous win. So if we could go to the break with the Rams at 5-3 and the Chargers at 4-4, then it's game on.
Yeah,
then we got a contest here.
We'll see. But that's not why I brought it up, because I don't want to remind you of your pain. I brought up the NFL players and the NFL owners and the commissioner all met last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Michael Bennett came out of that saying, the good first step is to sign Kaepernick.
Okay.
Nothing happens until we sign Kaepernick.
Right.
Okay. Why?
And why are we listening to Michael Bennett? The liar?
Well, he came out today. He spoke today the first time since the video came out of his arrest or detention in Las Vegas. He said, well, the guy you saw me talking to was not the guy who arrested me. So I stand by what I said, but I don't have to prove this to anybody.
Sure.
Well, you kind of do. If you want people
to believe
you.
Well, and by the
you.
Way, the police turned over every one of the, I think, 150 different videos.
They just have the one, the guy that stopped Bennett.
So,
okay.
So all the racist stuff and holding the gun, that was just on the one video that we just don't have.
Which,
okay.
I guess now, is that, possible.
Yeah, that's plausible, right.
But the reality is, Michael Bennett, you were shown to be a liar, and you continue to be lying, and you say, well, I don't have to prove myself because I know what I saw. I know what happened to me. Nobody knows what happened to me because I was there.
And to date, has there been a single sports-related journalist, news organization that has written even a sentence, a haiku, about Michael Bennett being proven to be a flagrant liar?
No.
Not a single one.
No. No, it's.
I mean, I was looking on the undefeated.
It's not
you know,
there. It's not there.
They just. I expected them to do a hard hitting. Gee, what we thought about Michael? No, just wasn't there. I was dismayed. I know Michael Wilbon
has not
still
has not come
doubling
out
down
that.
On the whole slaves NFL
yeah,
millionaires
slaves,
and slaves
racist, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And now Michael Bennett is the apparently the voice of moral gravitas.
Well,
that we should be listening.
It's interesting.
To.
They invited Kaepernick to attend the meeting and he declined.
Okay.
So he had the opportunity to go and share his thoughts with people who they couldn't all get together.
But wait,
I
want to stop right there. See, this is why the NFL is on a kamikaze mission, apparently. Roger Goodell is like a Japanese pilot just about to auger into the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you... Okay, Colin Kaepernick is not currently a player in the NFL.
Correct.
Colin Kaepernick...
He's not retired, but he's not playing.
...is the... flashpoint, the catalyst, the patient zero, which has caused your business model to alienate millions and millions of fans to the tune of you your television ratings being down something like
7% so far this year.
And so over 2 years, something like 16 or 17%.
Yeah.
Because he's disrespecting the flag and wears cops are pig socks and donates money to cop murderers who fled to Cuba and is basically a dunce. And so you're going to, you think it's still a good business decision. Oh, and also I forgot, he's suing you.
Oh, yes. That happened the day before the conference.
He's suing the league, even though he wants to work for the league. Hey, listen, I no hard feelings, man. I'm going to file this federal lawsuit, but I'd still like a job. And that's the guy you want to invite because are you going to, what, grovel and capitulate? What are you going to do?
Know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know.
You're gonna have everyone wear like a hands-up-don't shirt throwback jersey or something?
Maybe. Maybe.
They apparently... have decided that they would prefer that yes, the Golden Goose will need to stay dead.
Yes,
and we're gonna do everything that we can to make sure that all of our fans detest us as intensely as possible.
Well, I think Goodell got the message like, okay, I backed the wrong horse in this race. I said the players were okay. Yeah, they're fine, but the public hates me and they hate the league and they hate everything about us, and I'm not getting that back. I've read numerous occasions where people were lifelong fans of a team who stopped
absolutely
anything with the team.
But, I mean, is there no one sane in the league office? Is there no owner that when it was, because I guarantee you, they talked about this, that said, why would we ever consider inviting Colin Kaepernick to this meeting?
No
to
idea. Make... But he didn't go. That's the part. He didn't go.
Well, of course not. I mean,
he didn't vote last year, and he didn't go to the meeting where he could have voiced the opinions to the people who actually can affect those changes. He didn't go. He doesn't show up.
Well, he's done enough. Why would he dignify them with that? He's already made his point.
But Michael Bennett thinks we can't do anything until Kaepernick signs.
Right.
Guess what? Ain't happening. Is not going to happen. You don't sue the employer, and somehow they say, oh, you're right.
You know what?
I was wrong. I'll get you a job.
You know what? At this stage, the NFL is so cowardly and so just completely adrift in some, I don't know, some social justice warrior-induced coma that it wouldn't surprise me if someone winds up signing him, though.
0-7 Browns, 0-7 49ers, and they haven't reached out to Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah.
What does that tell you? You're 0-7. Your season's lost. It was lost before you started. Let's not kid ourselves. It was lost, and you still haven't signed this guy because you know there's no chance. You know, Giants, 1-6. You're going to bring Kaepernick? Is he going to change that? You're going to be 2-6 after? No. It begs the question, why is this man even relevant to the conversation at this point? He brings nothing to the table. I don't care what Wilbon says, that he's more talented than all these other backups out there. You're full of crap. One-time starter does not make you currently good. I'm sorry, 1-11 last year. 1-11.
It's a fascinating dynamic that all of the most pestilential, disgraceful, amoral people somehow rise up to the sort of spokesperson positions of these kind of issues. What do I mean by that? You've got how many decades or has Al Sharpton blighted, you know, the American landscape?
Way too
many. And shakedown artist Jesse Jackson. And now, in a microcosm of this, you have people like Michael Bennett and Colin Kaepernick. These are the people that you're running out there to advance your grievances?
I don't get it. You would never pick these people as your spokespeople, yet you seem to back them because they said it and you didn't have the guts to say whatever you felt. Wilbon, you didn't have the guts to say it before all this happened. Now suddenly you're empowered because somebody else did it and they're taking the heat. Sorry. You didn't believe it then. You don't believe it now. Don't tell me you did.
I mean, this would have been, for anyone who wasn't as feckless as Roger Goodell, this would have been a very simple thing to handle. What he should have done the first time that this happened is say, listen, we respect every player's right to protest and express their views, and they are free to do that in whatever means and methods they wish in their own time, whether it's on Facebook or whether they want to make a big sandwich board and parade around Times Square, they want to go to Chicago and have a sit-in or donate millions of dollars to some charity, whatever. But they are all employees, private employees, and they will all stand for the national anthem because we respect the flag, and those employees who don't wish to do that are perfectly welcome not to work here anymore.
You're done.
And there you go. We've protected free speech. We've affirmed your ability to virtue signal to your heart's content. But we believe in standing for the flag. It's a minimal show of respect for the ideals of this country and the people who have laid down their lives. And so that's what we're going to do. And again, we have utmost respect for people that differ with us on that. And their option is to hit the bricks.
Yes.
And go seek life elsewhere. Perhaps in the Canadian Football League.
That is not here.
Perhaps playing rugby in New Zealand. Perhaps a career in on Jeopardy. I don't know.
Broadcasting.
That's pretty easy, isn't it?
Seems to be straightforward there.
No, apparently not.
I have to throw this last thing out for one of our listeners, Brad. I came across a story this week about a female wrestler at a university in Michigan. University of Michigan, I don't know what, some small branch campus. She is not allowed to wrestle during the regular season because the NCAA rules prohibit men and women from wrestling. At postseason tournaments that are not sanctioned by the NCAA, she can wrestle other girls when there are girls available to wrestle. She's suing the NCAA because she's not allowed to wrestle men, and they claim she had 100 victories in high school over men, and I would claim that most of those were buys. I doubt very much that those were actual men that she was wrestling or boys.
I know what you meant there. I'm like, wait, what are we talking about? Buys?
Buys. Your hand gets raised because nobody comes out to wrestle against you. That doesn't make you 100 victories win. I will say this, and I will say this for anybody listening. If you disagree with me, too bad. I'll give you the number. You can call me. 717-739-5432. 717-739-5432. Men and women should never wrestle each other. Period. End of story. No further discussion.
Absolutely.
They should not compete on the same. They shouldn't play basketball against each other. They shouldn't play football against each other. They shouldn't play hockey against each other. They can play hockey. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. But why does every woman have to be part of the men's anything?
At that level, I mean, so if there is a sport where the physical superiority is more pronounced than in wrestling, I'm not sure I can think of it except maybe football. So first of all, out of sheer safety, and I don't want to hear it. Oh, no, you know, listen, at high-level college wrestling, I don't care what weight class you're in, there is no woman, short of someone who's been on the cream in the clear and in some experimental program for the CIA for a decade with all sorts of, adamantium implants, you are not going to be able to compete, and you're going to get hurt.
Well, take the hurt out of it. I agree with you. We're talking about college campuses where a woman the next day can say, I didn't consent to making out with that guy after the fact.
Right.
And now you're going to say, I want this guy's hands all over me in a grappling situation. The next day you charge him with assault.
Yeah. It's just
There's a reason for it. They said the NCAA said the insurance won't allow it. I can understand because there's going to be lawsuits like crazy for every woman saying, I'm looking for a payday. It should not happen. I think she should lose this lawsuit. The judge should toss out and say, this is ridiculous. Get out of here. It won't probably happen. It'll probably go to court.
Or the other hand, be careful what you wish for. And then in your first match, you're going to get
turned into a pretzel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was for our listener, Brad. You know who you are, and I know you'd appreciate that story. So anything else you need to add tonight?
No. I would welcome any pushback on the the competing Russia collusion stories.
Yes, there were some listeners previous who bought it hook, line, and sinker that there was Russian collusion from Trump. We know some of these people. I want to hear from you now.
Or just explain to me why the Hillary Uranium One issue is just complete distraction. It's a nothing burger. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear that explanation. Again, based on the hysteria that we have already seen for what I'm not even sure they're nothing other than
don't have anything to tell you,
Donald Trump once knew someone who knew. I don't understand. So
I would welcome
a very coherent explanation why the first story is still very critical and important, and Donald Trump is about to be impeached any second now. And the other stuff is just basically a chaff to distract us. It's a squirrel because Mueller again is closing in, and we will finally have vindication, and then the UN will install Hillary as the rightful leader of the free world.
Sure, that makes sense. The UN would definitely do that. So that's all we got. If you got something to share, please share it. If you call in and it's not profane, I'll play it. I don't mind. You can have a difference of opinion. I won't agree with you probably, but you can have a difference of opinion. Yep. So leave it at that.
We like diversity of opinion.
Yes. Diversity comes from opinions, not skin color. Right. Just remember that.
And then we'll tell you why you're wrong.
So thank you for joining us. I'm Chad.
I'm Tony.
Good night.
This has been a Hannah Tree production.